Hey, well, welcome to the third and the very final week in our current teaching series, Feeling Blue. During this time of year when it's reported that more and more people are feeling just a little bit blue, we've been looking at what are known as blue zones around the world. Blue zones, in case you're not familiar, I wasn't until just recently, but blue zones are regions around the world, not where people are the most depressed, but actually where people live the longest and the happiest lives. There are certain regions and there are certain people groups around the world that continue to produce the world's oldest and healthiest and happiest people. And so I started wondering, what do they know that we need to know? I mean, what are they doing that maybe we should be doing just a little bit more of? And apparently there were other people who wanted to know the same thing, because there is a group of people, an organization that is now studying these people and studying these regions around the world to try to determine what they had in common. I mean, what do they have going on? And they discovered a number of different common denominators from all of these people in these regions all over the world. These places had some things in common. They discovered a number of different common denominators and compiled a list of what they call these secrets to a long and to a happy and healthy life. And so I started reading. But as I scanned the list, I realized something. I realized these aren't really secrets. I mean, it's a, you know, great list, great list, full of some valuable insights and mindsets and routines and practices to be aware of. But to me, they weren't really secrets, right? The way I saw it long ago, God already had so much to say about all of this stuff, and he never intended for it to be a secret. He never intended to keep any of it a secret from us. And so that's really where this series was born, Feeling Blue. Right, in our attempt to discover God's not-so-secret keys to a happier and a richer and a fuller life. In week one, we looked at one of the foundations of life for people in a blue zone, which was a clear sense of purpose. Okay, that's like the one foundational thing that they found every one of these people had in common. Every person in a blue zone had a clear answer to the question, why I get up in the morning. And the reality is, I think that real purpose, it comes from God and God alone, right? The Bible that we read, that I read for instructions on this life says, and this is what we looked at 2 weeks ago, the Bible says that God created us to do the good things that he planned, not that we planned or that someone else planned for us, but that he planned for us to do long ago, okay? So our purpose is found in God and what was planned for us long ago. Our job then is to bring our life into line with those things as best as we can. Last week we looked at the practice that those in the blue zones call downshifting, right? Or that they talked about the ways that we shed stress, or the way that people deal with stress, or the workloads, or the heavy burdens that they were carrying. And I wanted to try to answer the question, not what does God say about rest, because if we've spent any time in church before at all, we know that, you know, God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested, and so we should too. We've heard that before. And so I didn't want to try to answer the question, what does God say about rest? I wanted to try to answer the question, how can we be sure it's okay to downshift in our lives when the rest of the world is shifting into overdrive? How can we be sure that we can downshift and that we won't be lapped or, you know, kind of passed up by the world that's moving so fast around us? Right? How can we be sure that really is okay for us to do? And the truth is, as followers of Jesus, for those of us who put ourselves in that camp, I think we can be all the more confident that it is okay for us to do that, knowing that, something that we looked at last week, knowing that God is still providing for us what we need the most, even when we choose to downshift. Okay? And the result, something else that we talked about, the result for us is that it becomes clear to us that the progress that we can make is only as important as the progress that God wants to make in us, right? We've got to find times to downshift and to allow God to be making progress in our hearts and in our lives. And so that's what we talked a little bit about last week. That leaves us one key that I want to talk about today, and the blue zone experts, they really group kind of three of their common denominators, three of their keys to long life under one overarching category, right? Our need to, or our ability to connect, right? That they've discovered that this is one thing that these people have in common, right? That they know how to, or they choose to connect with others. More specifically, they identify two factors that I wanted to kind of look at specifically today. The first is what they call finding the right tribe, and the second is belonging, right? Finding the right tribe, the right crew of people, and finding the right people that we can belong to, belong with. Both of these are so central, right? Finding your right tribe and having a sense where you belong are so central to God's heart for his people. And belonging is something that I think is something that all of us, even if we can't maybe articulate it exactly or we couldn't describe it specifically, I think belonging is something that all of us are looking for deep down inside. And I think a faith community like this, or a church, or even this church, it should be the place where people find that they belong the most, right? And belonging is good for us in so many different ways. The truth is, belonging, it's not just like a nice idea. It's not just like, that sounds nice, right? It's not just a nice idea. In fact, the experts that study these blue zones, this is cool to me. The experts that study these blue zones, they interviewed 263 centenarians, right? These are people who have lived at least 100 years, okay? So they've interviewed 263 centenarians, and they discovered, get this, that only five of them, not even 2%, only five of the 263 were not part of a faith community of some kind, okay? And then here's one more, and I'm just going to throw this one in for free here for you this morning. Here's what they report as well, okay? That attending religious services, church services, four times a month increases life expectancy 4 to 14 years. I kid you not, okay? That's not me saying that. That's just the experts. Don't shoot the messenger here. Just reporting the facts. 4 to 14 years extra life expectancy. So if you're not coming to church for the killer music or for my incredibly witty jokes, you come to tack on a couple extra years onto your life. Bring your friends and neighbors to tack a few years onto their lives. Okay, in all seriousness, no, this says to me something. Okay, I mean, they're reporting serious things that they have found, and it says to me that belonging, it's not just like, oh, that's a nice, that went, that isn't that nice, right? It's suggesting to me that belonging is a really powerful thing. And the truth is, I got to be honest, I wasn't really surprised to hear that well over the majority of these 263 people were a part of a faith community. I'm not surprised to hear of the power of belonging and connection with others. Because here's the truth, and here's what I want us to understand this morning. It's one key thought that I want to give to you today, which is this, that we were created to be connected. Okay? We, you and I were created to be connected, and that's not a secret, right? From the very beginning, the story of creation shows that we were created to be in connection with God and with others, okay? That was hardwired in us from the very beginning. Look at Genesis 1, chapter 26. Here's what it says. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us, and they will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock and all the wild animals on the earth and all the small animals that scurry along the ground." See, first and foremost, God created us to be in connection with him, to be like him, and then to rule the earth with him, right? To partner with him, actually, in bringing about life and beauty on earth. And this is significant to me because it shows that God did not just want humans to relate to him as puppets, but as partners, okay? Connected to him, like him, and ruling with him on this earth, right? Jesus himself alludes to this kind of relational connection that we would have with him in John 15. Here, look what he says. He says, I no longer call you servants, he says to the people he's with. He says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. See, we're friends, not servants. We're partners, not puppets, right? We were created to be connected to, in relationship with the God who created us. Okay? But we were also created to be connected with others, right? It was not God only. We were created from the beginning to be connected and in relationship with others. Look at Genesis chapter 2. After God created Adam, he said, hey, you know, this is good. This is really good. And then he placed Adam in the garden. And then here is what God discovered. Then the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. Okay? God knew that Adam needed something else. God knew that he needed another layer of connection. So if you keep reading the story, you see that he actually first tried to make, you know, the animals on earth be that companion for Adam. But that really wasn't quite right. And that leads to the creation of Eve, another human being for him to relate to. Why? Because it is not good for man to be alone. Right? And the truth is, the Hebrew word man there is the word ha-adam, which actually translates as man or as mankind, right? And so the point is this, that all of us, all of mankind were created to be connected, okay? The whole of the biblical story reminds us that connection with God and connection with others is what we were designed for. Okay, the good news when it comes to connecting with others, which is a little bit of what I said I wanted us to be talking about today, the good news is that connection is getting easier and easier to do today. We can connect with more people in more places faster and further away than ever before. It's a great thing. But the bad news is, or maybe the more interesting news is that in various sociological surveys today, more and more people are reporting feelings of loneliness. Good news is that we connect faster and easier and in more places than ever before. But the bad news is that more and more studies are showing that more and more people are reporting feelings of loneliness. That doesn't line up to me. And so the question that came to my mind, the question that I want to try to talk about this morning and answer this morning is, how is that possible? I mean, how is it possible that we could be so surrounded by people all day long? I mean, how is it possible that we could be more connected than at any other point in our history and yet still feel alone? How can we be surrounded by people all day long and yet still report inside of us feelings of loneliness? Maybe that's a question you're asking. Maybe you can relate in your life right now, in your world right now. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you too are surrounded by people all day long. Surrounded by people at home, you're surrounded by people in school, you're surrounded by people in the office or at social gatherings or are a busy growing church, but maybe you too, you'd answer a question on the survey in the very same way, saying, yeah, there's some part of me that's feeling lonely. If that's you, then I'm really glad that you're here today, because what I want to do is share with you something that I've been learning recently about our social in our relational lives and what might cause us to feel this sense of loneliness. I first started learning about it at a pastor's gathering last fall, and I wanted to share this with you. And what I learned is this, that sociologists describe our, you know, social and relational lives as being made up of five different levels, okay? Five different kind of layers of connection. And what they suggest is that no matter how surrounded you are by other people, no matter how surrounded you are by people in your life every day, you will still feel lonely if each layer is not fully represented in your life. Okay? So here's what I want to do. I want to briefly introduce you to each of these layers of connection, okay? The first layer or the first sphere that they talk about is the public sphere. And this type of network in your life typically consists of large groups of people, like 500 or more, they say, in your life. And it's the broadest layer of connection that you have with people based on some pretty general kind of overarching sense of connection. The best way to think about this layer is to think of yourself on vacation somewhere far away, and you see someone wearing a sweatshirt, you know, of your favorite team, and you go, boom, we've got a connection. You go, hey, Packers, Vikings, or some other team, cool. You know, you'll go, me too. That's awesome, right? You have no idea. You don't know a thing about this person. You don't know if they're a psychopath. You don't know if they're a Republican or a Democrat. You don't know if they're the type of person that pulls the toilet paper from underneath or from over the top, which is the way toilet paper was made to be used. You don't know anything about them. Except for, you know, some connect, you know, you like the same team, or your kid goes to the, you know, the same college that they went to. There's a connection there because of it. The church that introduced me to this research and how they process it actually was a large church with campuses all throughout the Boston area. And they discovered that their just church in general, the people that fill their seats in general kind of existed in this sphere, right? That their people would see each other around town. It was a church called High Rock. And so they'd see other people throughout Boston wearing a High Rock t-shirt or, you know, the High Rock bumper sticker on their car. And they go, High Rock? Yeah, me too. And they didn't know a thing about each other. They'd never seen each other before, but they're going, yeah, High Rock, me too, right? They had some kind of connection to this big place called High Rock, right? That's the kind of role a church can play in this kind of public sphere, right? These are the kind of connections that exist there in that public sphere. Right? Kind of feels good. You don't really know anything about them, but you've got a connection there. And it might seem insignificant. You might think, well, that's not really that important, but it plays a role. Belonging to this kind of world, it plays a role in your social world, okay? The next layer is this. It's the social sphere. It's typically a kind of a level that consists of about 25 to 75 people in your life. For those of you who tend to be more introverted, this would be like the 75 or the 25 end of the scale. And for those of you that are more extroverted, this would be nearing the 75 person end of the scale. And this is the group of people that you think of when you're going to throw a party, a Super Bowl party, a Christmas party, and you say, hey, let's invite everyone. Okay, that's this group of people. You know them, you like them, you've hung out with them before, and you know you want to do it again. You may not know their mom's name, you may not know their older sister's name, but they're your friends, and you enjoy their company, right? And so when you're going to throw a party, this is who you reach out to, right? Your social sphere in your life at the time, okay? The next layer gets a little bit smaller, and it's what they call the personal sphere, right? Your personal sphere generally consists of about 3 to 12 people, right? Being kind of the minimum and the maximum amount of number that you can, you know, people that you can have in your world in this arena, right? And they're your close friends. People you maybe share common interests with. It's people who know your hopes, and they know your dreams, and they know your fears, and they know your failures, and they know your struggles, right? And these are people who support you and encourage you and challenge you, and they hold you accountable, right? They want what's best for you. The Bible talks about these kind of, you know, relationships all the time. In the book of Proverbs, right, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens another friend, right? And then in the book of Ecclesiastes, a strand of three, a cord of three is not easily broken, right? It's saying, hey, one can easily be overtaken, two back-to-back can be defeated, but man, a strand of three cannot easily be broken, okay? We need these types of relationships and connections in our life to help us be the people that God created us to be, the friends and the spouses and the bosses and the employees, the leaders that God created us to be. It's a very important layer in our lives. The next layer is what is known as the intimate layer, okay? And this layer should really be occupied by only one person. If you're married, that person should be your spouse. If you're not married, then this is occupied by a deep, deep friendship, right? Intimate is not just a romantic descriptor here, right? It's talking about a relationship where you fully know the other person and when you allow yourself to be fully known, okay? There's vulnerability. There's honesty. There's openness. There's deep levels of trust. There's deep levels of teamwork. There's deep levels of forgiveness, okay? It's an intimate relationship in your life. The final layer, maybe which all of this is built on, is the spiritual one. It's the spiritual layer, the foundation to all of this. We cannot forget that we were created for connection, yes. God says that it was not good for mankind to be alone. But the connection is not just with other people only. Okay? There was a sense that we were supposed to be connected with God too, the God who created us in his image to be like him, to partner with him. Okay? And so this layer here at the very center, it represents the relationship that you have with God, the relationship that you are developing with his son, Jesus Christ. And it cannot be ignored. Okay? These are the five layers of our relational life, our connected life. And what sociologists have also discovered in people is this. This is fascinating to me, okay? What they've discovered is this, that when people feel lonely, when you and I do feel lonely, which we all do at times, what they've discovered is that when we feel lonely, what we do is we just retreat to, or we fall back on, or we just double down on the one area that we've already got covered. Right? Because all of us, we've usually got kind of one of these rings intact in our life somewhere, right? And so when we feel lonely, we go, yeah, nobody likes that. We don't like feeling lonely. And so when loneliness sets in, we just head back to the one ring where everything is okay, right? So when we get lonely, then we just head back to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch the game with, you know, all of our like-minded best friends, right? Or we just fill our calendar with another social gathering, because we can always find our way into those places that kind of make us feel like we're a part of something. Or we add another small group night, or we add another small group to the mix, right? Do another one. Or we just make sure we carve out more time with our family. Well, you know what? I'm feeling lonely, so I just got to get more of the time of my wife and more of the time of my kids. When we feel lonely, we will resort to the one layer that we've already got intact. Of course, why would we not, when we're feeling lonely? Let's go to the one place where we belong. The only problem with that is what I already mentioned at the top. Loneliness, they say, sets in when there is underrepresentation in any of these layers. Right? And so if you're lonely, you'll turn to what you already have going on. You'll retreat to the layer and the one social circle that's most complete. But the danger is that you very well could still feel lonely because one or two or three layers still need to be filled that you're not paying attention to. If one of those rings is empty, they're saying, chances are you'll still feel just a little bit empty too. Because you can have season tickets and sit in Lambeau Field or U.S. Bank Stadium every single Sunday with 80,000, like-minded people, your new BFFs, right? And yet you could still be lonely because beyond football, there may not be a place with somebody that knows your name. But you can also be in situations where everybody knows your name. I mean, you're like a social, king or queen, right? You could be invited to every holiday, every birthday, every Christmas, every cocktail party there is, every weekend of every year. And it's possible that you would still feel lonely if you don't have an even smaller group to relate to beyond this, the talk about weather or pop culture or news headlines. See how this works, right? Each layer, in every direction, above or below, it matters. Okay, no matter what area is strong, if the others aren't, it could set you up to have that feeling set in. Each layer in every direction matters. And the truth is, it's not always an outside, you know, in kind of movement. That's not the only kind of movement that you necessarily want. In fact, the pastor who shared this research with me and the young group of leaders that I was with, he shared about a gentleman that he met in the gym. And he wasn't really a guy that was connected to a church or to faith. And the two of them actually started working out together, and they developed a pretty close relationship that kind of fell within that personal sphere of relationships. These guys got to know each other and you know, develop some trust together. And this pastor's goal, he said, was not necessarily to get his new friend, like, right to God, right to church, right into the faith. Right? He didn't want to skip any layers in the process. He didn't want to ask anyone to take any step that was maybe too big to leap over any layer in the process. And so his goal for this new friend, who was actually happening the very week we were there, he was saying, his goal for this new friend was to invite him to the outer rings of the circle before he invited him to move in toward the center. And so he wanted to invite this new friend of his to a gathering of guys at church where guys came together out in Boston for beer and for brats. It was happening that week when we were there, right? He wanted to get his friend to that place. He was hoping that his friend might have the chance to meet some other like-minded guys like him, right? And from that point, he was actually hoping that this group of guys might be able to say, hey, all of us, right? This has been great. It's been great hanging out with you. All of us are actually part of this place called High Rock. There's a place with lots of people where we belong, and it's this church called High Rock, and we'd love to have you join us out on this public ring of the relational life. And that might be the beginning of a new journey for him from there. See, I only share this so that you can see how every layer in every direction, I think, is worth paying attention to. And so my question for you is this, right? The only reason I share any of this is because I want to just very gently ask you this question this morning. Is there any part of you that's feeling some sense of loneliness in some part of your life? If so, then there's maybe some more questions to be asking. Where are you on this grid? What layer do you already have kind of well, or you know, what layer is well accounted for, right? What area is the strongest and the most developed for you? And then maybe more importantly, which one doesn't exist? Which one really isn't well accounted for? And what step then, and in what direction might you need to take if it's true that we were created to be connected? Okay? What step do you need to take so that your life might actually be as full and as rich as God intended it to be? As you think about that, here's what I want you to know. We want to help you take whatever step is next. Here at Midcurrent, we want to help you take whatever step is next for you. We want to help you as best as we can. We want to help you move in and out and up and down this kind of relational playing field, right? We want every one of you to have those spheres filled in your life. And when it comes to that, there's some good news and there's some bad news. I'll start with the bad news, okay? The bad news is that it is actually beyond our ability to manufacture or to kind of create these types of relationships or friendships for you, right, that you're going to want to be a part of, that are going to stand the test of time, let alone to create any ones that are going to fill some of the deepest needs in your life or fill some of the greatest roles in your life. It is beyond our ability as a church to just manufacture that relationship. I wish I could just say, you sign up today and I'll find you your best friend for life. I wish I could do that, okay? But it is beyond my and beyond our capacity, right, to manufacture that kind of relationship for you. The good news is that we can create environments, and we will create environments that are conducive to the beginning of and to the development of these types of relationships. We can't make it happen, but we can create environments where it's got the greatest chance to happen in some really natural and normal ways. And one of those environments is something that a year ago we called Small Group 101. And we're going to do this whole deal again, except we're going to give it a name actually this year that I think more accurately describes what we pray is taking place. And so for 4 weeks, starting on February 23rd, we're going to hold what is now called Meeting Midcurrent. It's going to be right here after church. We'll have, you know, lunch for us, and we'll take care of your kids for those who need it. And we're going to split whoever signs up in the same four groups every week to provide you with a simple and easy conversation guide to simply help you meet more people who call this place home. Don't have to read a book. You don't have to, you know, complete an assignment every week. You just have to come prepared for 4 weeks. Come prepared every Sunday to share in 2 to 3 minutes. That's it. 2 to 3 minutes about who you are, the defining moments in your life, the defining relationships in your life, and any kind of defining faith experiences that you might have had. That's all you got to do every week is come prepared to talk about yourself for 2 to 3 minutes. And if you're anything like me, that's not hard to do. This one environment, and these 4 weeks and these simple questions 1 year ago created some of the quickest and some of the deepest connections that I've seen in the past couple years. And they created some of the strongest friendships that actually exist here today. And we are praying because of all of this, because of the reality that we were created to be connected, we are praying that more and more and more of that will continue to happen in even greater ways. And so starting today, you'll be able to go to our website that's designed for this type of registration process. It's midcurrent.churchcenter.com, where all that kind of sign-up stuff can happen. Starting today, you can go to that website to register. Last year, we had 40 people sign up. And I'll be honest, I think I heard from the majority of them that this was like the best decision they ever made, one of the best things that they've ever done in church before. Okay, so if you're new and wanting to, you know, get to know more people, or if you've been around for a while but you're just looking to meet more people at this place called Midcurrent, then this is designed for you, whether you've been a part of this or not. If you're new, if you're just looking to meet more people who call this place home, this environment is for you. If there's a step for you to take in order for you to make the connections that are going to make the difference, we're praying that you would take that step. We're praying that you would put yourself into an environment designed to help you develop some of the connections that you might need the most. Okay, and there's one last thing that I want to say about this to be real clear, and I'll be as direct as I can this morning, right? You could have just about every one of these layers well accounted for. I mean, you could be, you know, invited to the best parties. You could have the world's greatest, you know, group of friends, you know, greatest friends someone could ask for. You could have the most incredible, supportive, loving spouse in the entire world. But if that center circle isn't filled, if you're not connected to the God that created you, if you don't know the heart of the God who knows your heart and who loves you the same, I still think that there's going to be a piece of you that feels a little bit empty. I think there's still going to be a sense of loneliness and emptiness inside of you that only God is going to fill. And so if you're here today and you're well connected in just about every other area of your life except the one at the center, I want to give you the chance to make that connection right here today. Because we were created to be connected with one another and with God. And the truth is, when Adam and Eve you know, first disobeyed God in the garden, that connection with us and with God, it was severed for us all. And ever since then, it is the one thing that God wants back the most. It's the one thing that he wants again. And so he wants it so much that he sent his son Jesus to close that gap, to pay that penalty that we deserve to pay so that we could be in relationship with God again. And that might be the connection that you need to make today. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And if this is the connection that you need to make today, the connection with the God who created you, then I'm just going to invite you to pray this prayer with me to yourself. You can pray this prayer with me. We'll all bow our heads. And maybe you pray this prayer right along with me. God, today, I acknowledge how good you are and how good your creation is. Thank you, God, for creating me and for wanting to be in a relationship with me. Thank you for sending your son to make it possible for me to be in relationship with you for eternity. And today I say yes to you, and I say yes to your son, Jesus, because this is the piece of my life and of my heart that I don't want to be empty anymore. And so I'm asking you, God, to fill that hole. Would you fill that space? I'm asking you to be real to me as I give more of myself to you. And God, for all of us here this morning, I just give you thanks for the truth about how it is that we were designed to be in relationship, to be connected to you, and to be connected with others. God, it is my prayer that all of us here would experience so much more of all of that, so that we would experience so much more of the life that you have planned for us, God. So help us to take the step that we need to take. God, help us to see, to understand where it is that we might need to give more of our time and our attention, God. Help us to take whatever step is right and give us the courage, God, to step into a new environment, whether it's back into here on a Sunday morning or whether it's into the environment at meeting Midcurrent or something else, God. I pray that you would give us the courage to take the step toward the connections that we need the most. God, we thank you for being a God that loved us so much that you actually took one huge, giant step from heaven to earth just to be in connection with us again. God, we give you thanks for this, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.